Jesus is coming. Call to worship. It's in the back of your bulletin. And if you could stand, if you're able, that would be great. Now is the time of waiting and watching. We wait expectantly for the Messiah, for God's promises to be fulfilled.
We turn to you, O God, in the midst of this chaotic world, longing for that day of salvation to arrive. How long must we wait?
Pay attention, be still, and know that God is with us. The signs are all around us.
Fill us with the faith and the hope of what it is to be as we come before you with open hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Please stay standing. We will be singing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, but from the Brown Hymnal, number 111.
Welcome here. This first Sunday of Advent, we wait and watch with anticipation for the one who comes proclaiming righteousness in the name of the Lord. This week is about holding our hope in the coming Messiah while we wait and learn what it means for us to receive God's righteousness today. I haven't been given the names of anybody who is visiting or as a guest, but you are all welcome here, of course. And I just wanted to draw a little bit of attention to this. This flower arrangement is from Lizzie's parents. So they are here in spirit because they couldn't come from Kansas, I guess. So now we will have the installation of Lizzie.
We'll actually begin with membership reception and then move on to the installation in that order. So today we celebrate the beginning of a relationship between Lizzie Schrag and North Kelowna Mennonite Church. Lizzie has consented to serve our church in the role of faith development pastor. We're thankful for the guidance that God has given us as this has developed. So this morning, we receive Lizzie into membership in our church, and then we'll have her installed as one of our pastors. Lizzie's request for membership is a statement that she wants to be a part of us, that she sees God at work here at our church and wants to join us as the people of God. But we also have a part to play in this. We recognize that as people join our church, we are committing ourselves to support them through our prayers, our words, and our actions. As we accept Lizzie, we remember the promises and commitments we made at our baptisms, when we declared our faith in Jesus, and when we promised to participate in the mission of the church. When we ask to be received into the membership of a church, we are communicating various things. We are making the statement that we want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We are saying that we are willing to share the gifts that God has given to us with the church, and that we are open to receive what others have to offer. We are saying that we are willing to be accountable to others and to care for them as best we can. We are saying that we are willing to give and receive forgiveness, counsel, and a sense of belonging. Now, Lizzie, a few Sundays ago, we heard you tell us about your faith journey with God. We remember your honesty as you shared openly of doubts and of confidence. We remember the commitment to following Jesus that you communicated to us. As we listen to your story of God at work in your life, and as we have come to know you a little, we recognize that we are fellow travelers in God's story. We walk together as God's people, forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ, brought together by God's love and grace. Lizzie, do you now wish to be received as a member in this congregation? And are you willing, with God's help, to share the gifts God has given with you with us in our common mission as servants of Jesus Christ?
I do.
So Lizzie has witnessed to her faith in Jesus Christ and has offered herself as a companion in our obedience to Christ. It is our privilege and joy to welcome her into our family of faith. I want to ask you to take your hymnals, the blue hymnal, turn to number 794. We want to respond to Lizzie as a congregation, and there's a good response there. 794, a written piece. I already read the leader part, so we can just move right into the people part. Now think of when we read it at the end, there's a plural. We joyfully accept you as partners. It's written for multiple receptions. If you can just change that to a partner, I think that would flow better. So people respond to our welcoming Lizzie. Well, Lizzie, we then welcome you as a member in our congregation. Eric, on behalf of the caregivers, will do so. I think what we'll do now is we'll take this opportunity to invite the children to come forward for the children's feature, and then we'll continue on with the installation. No, they'll stay. We want the children to be present for the installation time, so we'll have them just be seated in the pews here.
Good morning. It's a special day. What are you noticing that's different this week than last week in church? Well, come on. There's Christmas decorations, yes. Today is First Advent, and typically on the first Sunday of Advent, it's called the Waiting Sunday. So the first candle represents waiting. Now, I think most of you probably represent the waiting for Christmas in a different way, maybe at home. Does any of this look familiar to you guys? Yeah, it's an Advent calendar, and it's a countdown to what day? It's a countdown to Christmas. So for every day in December, you get to open one door, and you know what you're waiting for. What are you waiting for?
Chocolate.
We're waiting for chocolate, and at the end, when all the chocolates are gone, comes the best day, Christmas, which is Jesus' birthday. Now, I can't share the chocolates with you. First of all, I think there's more than, like, it's only the 2nd of December, so we can only open two doors. And secondly, it's Ben's calendar, and not mine to share. So we know what we're waiting for, and we know in 23 days it will be Christmas Day. The people that the grown-ups are going to be hearing about today knew they were waiting for something, but they didn't know when. So sometimes waiting for something and not knowing when, well, actually always, waiting for something and not knowing when is much harder than waiting for something and knowing when. All of us have experienced waiting for something and not knowing when it would happen. Your moms and dads waited for you to be born, didn't know exactly when that would be. Lots of us have people that we love and we're waiting for them to get well and we don't know exactly when that will be. But that kind of waiting also comes because we're Christians and we love Jesus. It comes with a special present called hope. So we are hoping while we're waiting, and that's the gift that we get with God. So can we bow for prayer? Loving God, we wait in expectation for the birth of your Son. Let us trust in you and remember your promise, being filled with love for you and one another as we wait. Amen. And now, our church has been waiting for this, Lizzie, for a long time. So we can turn and celebrate with our church as we see Lizzie being installed as a pastor.
As a church, we have been called, where we have called Lizzie Schrag to walk with us as one of our pastors. After careful consideration, she has accepted our call and has a call from God. Today we want to install Lizzie as our faith development pastor in the name of the Chief Shepherd and Pastor, our Lord Jesus Christ.
We follow that with a little presentation section. Corny will ask a question. We as a congregation respond. I didn't get it into the bulletin. I'm going to have to ask you to do a repeat after me on this.
We are here today in the presence of God and this church to install Lizzie Schrag as faith development pastor of this congregation. Who presents Lizzie for installation?
We, the congregation, present Lizzie Schrag. Believing that we have been guided by the Spirit of God, we have chosen Lizzie to be our faith development pastor.
In commending Lizzie for this ministry, will you also uphold her in it?
We will stand by her in her calling.
Now I'd like to introduce Kathy Giesbrecht. She's the Associate Director of Leadership Ministries in Mennonite Church, Manitoba.
Here we are together. It is joy for me to see your faces and to feel your faith and to share in story and in prayer and worship with you. It is a good day. I bring you just warm greetings of peace, joy, and love from my colleagues and myself at the office of Mennonite Church Manitoba. And I bring you greetings of First Advent from my home congregation, the Home Street Mennonite Church. So, Lizzie. What a beautiful day to be installed. The beginning of the church year as you begin a new season of your life and your life in the body of Christ and your life testing and exploring the vocation of pastoral ministry. Today is an Advent like no other. So we celebrate this occasion of Lizzie Schrag being formally installed as the pastor of faith development here in the body at the North Kildonan Mennonite Church. This is a covenant which is meant to reflect God's dream for this church, for the church. It is a covenant between Lizzie, the church family, the conference which I represent, and the living God. As with all covenant making, it is a time of commitment, a time of hope, anticipation. It is a time of celebration. In terms of the commitment in this covenant, I have several questions we will now ask of you, Lizzie. Lizzie, have you responded to the nudging of the Spirit to be part of God's story by placing faith in Jesus the Christ and committing yourself to follow him with your life?
Yes, I have.
You have responded openly, willingly to the call of the Holy Spirit and the North Kildonan body here in stepping forward to use your gifts in this place. Will you continue to nurture your relationship, your friendship, your trust with God through the Christian disciplines of study and prayer and Bible reading, solitude, feasting and fasting? And will you respond to the needs of the congregation with humility and kindness, recognizing that God also reaches out to you through those who you minister to?
Yes, I will.
That was a very long question. This one I will actually address to Marv. So Marv, come and get in on the action, the action of covenanting, the holy action of covenanting. Marv, as a new pastor, Lizzie will need care and prayer and guidance. She will need direction and encouragement as she begins her work here in the community and the congregation. And so we ask you, will you mentor and guide Lizzie as she grows into the work of the church she has been in and has invited, the work of the church that she has been invited to embrace?
Yes, I will.
That is good to hear. Well, Marvin, Lizzie, you're going to work together. You are together on the road following Jesus, and you will be together in ministry here in the body as co-workers in the kingdom of our God. Recognizing that you are working together, I ask you, will you work together and model the words in which you speak?
Yes, we will.
We will.
As a congregation, this one is for you. I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, will you support and encourage Lizzie in her work as the pastor of faith development? Will you accept her and enjoy her, delight in her new journey as part of your story, embracing her ministry in your midst? If so, I would invite you to respond, we will.
We will.
Good. I was counting on that. Depending on it, actually. Trusting. Oh, on behalf of the Mennonite Church of Manitoba, I pass on our commitment to do all we can to support and nurture this relationship. I will do my best to provide Lizzie with the resources and the care and encouragement she will need as you begin this journey together.
Lizzie, today we covenant with you to be partners in ministry. As you exercise your gifts in ministry in this congregation, we will also exercise our Spirit-given gifts. Together as servants, we commit to you our support that you might freely exercise the responsibilities we have entrusted to you. Our prayers, our guidance, and our encouragement will be offered to support you. In our ministry, together we will want to fulfill what God has called us to do. Kathy?
Lizzie, this is a day like no other, and yet it is just like every other day. as we again commit ourselves to living lives of love and to be faith and to faithfully, freely exercise and enjoy the gifts that have been entrusted to us. Being a pastor is a lot of fun. It really is so wonderful, adventurous, thrilling, challenging vocation and calling. And it's a deep privilege. As you share yourself with the body of Christ here in North Kildonan, and as they open their lives to the gifts of the Spirit that abide in you and that flow in and through you. North Kildonan, take good care of Lizzie, as I know she will. She will take good care of you. May the light of Christ burn bright. I will now offer a prayer of installation. Living and loving God, you call your people to service through the church. We ask this day that you would bless the covenant we have made together as pastors and people. We thank you for the calling to ministry that comes to each of us. And on this day, we especially thank you for the calling to pastoral ministry. Be a source of strength to Lizzie. Endow her with gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bind us to one another in the bond of peace. Amen and amen. Lizzie Schwag, you have now been installed.
Home is a place of belonging. And as some of you who heard my faith journey a couple of Sundays ago will remember, there's been a lot of houses in my life, but not a lot of homes. And I am so grateful today to have a home congregation in the country that I'm in. This is my third year in Canada, and I feel like it's finally becoming home. And I am so grateful that that home is here with you and in this congregation. And I think it's important to point out that my parents, who aren't here physically, are here in spirit, and in particular my mother, who has witnessed the calling of ministry, has lived out a life of care for the other in the spirit of Christ that has been so incredibly influential. And to be here today, to be installed as a pastor and to be welcomed into a congregation, I think speaks momentously to my mother and to the work of God and the ability and the power and the capacity of God to work through both of our lives. And so I'm grateful to you for accepting me and welcoming me and for the support and the growth that we will do together. Thank you.
As a representative of the Prayer Shawl and Quilting Ministry, and of course this church, and a caregiver and a parent of youth, I want to present you with this shawl.
Well, for the final prayer of dedication and blessing, Lizzie, let's step down here so that the children can be among us, or we are among the children, I should say. I want to invite, if there are some other teens who want to get involved here yet, that would be good. And so if you guys want to stand up, we're just going to make a big circle around Lizzie. We're going to come stand among you here. And others that would like to come and join in a prayer circle, You're welcome. The parents, people that feel especially connected, I don't know who to say you should come, but... So let's pray. God, you have loved us into your family, your story, with an overwhelming and affirming love. Thank you for the way you have called us to be the church, built on the foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ. You call your people to serve us through the church. Thank you for the calling to ministry that comes to each of us. Today we thank you especially for the call to pastoral ministry. We ask that you would bless the covenant that has been formed today between Lizzie and this church. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray, and bind us together with the bond of peace. And now, Lizzie, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right. If you could turn into your bulletin with me, we have a few important things to highlight. Harry Lowen and Beata Lage are now home, which is good, I suppose. Under prayer requests, Nestory, you may have read this already, and I won't go into it, but there have been some updates on his travel plans to go see his family in Uganda. And tomorrow he should be receiving his travel documents, and he will be leaving on Thursday to make quite a trek to see his family. It will take 3 days, and he will travel by plane and train and I don't know what all else, but he hopes to get there in time to see his mother and be there for when the surgeon can hopefully come and remove the bullet from her head. So that will be quite a journey. And he asks for, of course, our prayer support so that he can see his mother again. There are, of course, many things happening here at church and beyond. The Ehrenfest is taking place here next Saturday, and it starts at 5:30. And if you need a ride, there is a number, the church you can call before Friday. The youth are hoping to have their annual Christmas dinner on the 15th, and there are some instructions there. If you haven't joined the choir yet, you still can, and they are rehearsing Sunday mornings at 9:30 every Sunday up until Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, we have a schedule insert in your bulletin, and if you've looked it over, you may have noticed that, of course, we're having Fourth Advent on December 23rd, but we are actually having the Sunday School and Choir program on Christmas Eve, which happens on December 24th. So if you come on December 23rd, you will be here alone. So I think we'll change that for next week, but for now, you know what's happening. And I was also asked to highlight number 9. The Westgate Mennonite Collegiate is having a musical in a couple of weeks, and there are still many tickets, and I know the students have been practicing quite a bit, so I'm sure it will be quite enjoyable. Is there anybody who would like to highlight a different announcement or share anything? We have microphones if necessary.
Good morning. There was probably a sigh of relief on the balcony when there weren't any guests to introduce, but this is Little Sister Payback. On Thursday, our mom is going to be 90. So some gifts you can't put a bow on. So her kids, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren, who have gone down with their friends for Sunday school, have come to be in one of her favorite places today. Happy birthday, Mom.
Well, that is something to celebrate, for sure. Is there anybody else? Nope. Okay. If you could please join me in prayer. Loving God, in this time of watching and waiting, we are filled with hope. As this season always becomes busier with activities and gatherings, remind us to prepare our hearts for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we watch for the signs, listen for the messengers, wait for the good news to slip into our world and our lives. As we have accepted Lizzie into our family, we pray for her to be blessed in her new position and be a blessing as she worships here and works with the young people. Let us remember that this time of year can be difficult for many, and help us show your love to those around us. We, of course, especially pray for Nestory, who will be traveling to see his family again. We pray for people in our congregation who may be unwell today or lonely, in personal care homes, apartments, or in their own homes, and aren't able to be here. Our thoughts of love and hope are with persons undergoing treatments, therapies, or hospitalization for various issues whose energies may have another focus at this time. Let us trust in you, God, and remember your promises. May we clear the way for your love to come to all of us in the form of a tiny child, the reason to celebrate. Amen. We will now have the offering. I will begin by reading from Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. And from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Well, the service has a lot of parts to it, doesn't it? I think you'd be happy to know that I've written the longest sermon I've ever written for this service. I had no idea it would be there was so much in this service. No. No, I took that in the kind of service we had today into account as I wrote. And I want to thank Kathy for being present with us this morning. I thought that when she talked about her home congregation, Home Street, she might talk about how Home Street was supplying the pastoral team for this church, but she didn't do that, because both Cheryl and I and Lizzie, before coming here, were attending at Home Street Mennonite Church. So. Yes, right. There was a you're welcome to the congregation from representing Home Street. Let's take a moment to pray. Our God, we are grateful for your presence by the Holy Spirit with us today. As we celebrate together as a congregation the love that you've given to us and that we have to share with others, guide our thoughts and our prayers by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought that I might begin the sermon this morning with some gloomy thoughts. I know you probably didn't come to our worship service this morning with great expectations of gloomy thoughts. You likely came with a desire to experience some inspiring joy. And gloominess is not all that inspiring. But bear with me a little. One gloomy thought occurred this week as I read an article in the Winnipeg Free Press that talked about the likely scenario ahead as our planet continues to warm. Now, I don't know about you. I keep on having a hard time lamenting strongly the idea of the planet warming a little. I feel like that would be okay. But the article I read was a reminder that warmer temperatures on the Earth will likely lead to widespread death and environmental devastation. If we don't reduce emissions around the world, this article said, it is only a matter of time until this occurs. Now, I find that a gloomy thought. Now, it looks like, based on the predictions or the models in this article at least, it looks like I might not still be alive when this happens, and that means that many of you won't be either. But I wonder what this will mean for my children, my grandchildren. Another gloomy thought occurred when I gathered with a group of Mennonite pastors this week for a discussion about healthy churches. This group of pastors has committed itself to reading and peer discussion on that topic for the next 6 months or so. While there was some lament during the discussion about the low number of young adults in church worship services in our churches, one of the pastors declared that this is true in all kinds of churches. And this was a young adult pastor, a youth pastor, so he had some research behind what he said. He said, no matter what styles or theological persuasions characterize our churches, there is a dearth of the younger generation present at worship services. And that struck me as a gloomy thought. We might have hoped that there would be, you know, one worship style or one church direction to adopt that would draw younger people into the Christian church. But that suggestion sounded like there may be no effective approach at this time. And that sounds kind of gloomy. When I read the text from Jeremiah for this morning and considered its context, I recognized that the Israelites of the southern kingdom of Judah who heard Jeremiah's words lived in a situation that could have led to gloomy thoughts as well. Those people too wondered about whether their place of worship would survive and how they and their children would fare in their threatening geopolitical situation. Our text in Jeremiah 33 comes from a section of Jeremiah that is sometimes called the Book of Consolation and was probably written sometime in the decade before Jerusalem fell finally and completely to the Babylonian army in 587 or 586 BC. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had already attacked Jerusalem twice. His armies had decisively taken control of Jerusalem, and the Israelite kings had been forced to be subject to Babylon. Some Israelites had been exiled to Babylon. Israel might have felt that they were still a nation, but they had no self-determination. The people of Israel were also living with the dread that Babylon would attack again and inflict greater damage. In fact, looking back, we know that that did happen. The people of Israel had good reason to be living gloomily. In that context, the prophet Jeremiah relayed the consoling and hopeful words of God to the people of Israel. God promised that the days were coming when he would fulfill the gracious promise he had made to Israel. He would make a righteous branch. That branch is signified for us throughout this Advent season. He would make this righteous branch sprout from David's line. That righteous branch would do what was just and right. Judah would be saved, and Jerusalem would live in safety. The branch would be known as the Lord our righteousness. That was the promise God made to the Israelites of the southern kingdom of Judah. That promise could be interpreted in various ways. It could have been understood as a statement that God would take what was left of Judah after it was annihilated by Babylon and create a new and just nation. We know that Jerusalem and the temple were rebuilt so that the people of Israel were able to live in united worship of God again. The promise could also have been understood as a statement that God would raise up an individual from the lineage of King David to create a new thing in Israel. We know that the people of God who wrote the story of Jesus believed that Jesus fulfilled this promise. As the people of Israel heard this promise, though, they would have had to wait to see what would happen. If they believed the words of God given through the prophet Jeremiah, they would be able to live with hope. They would have been able to echo the words of Psalm 25, the other lectionary text we read this morning. There the psalmist declared his trust in God. He was confident of the goodness and justice of God. He would hope in the righteousness of God. On this Sunday, we at North Kelowna Mennonite Church begin the four-week period of Advent. During Advent, we focus on the promises of God to his people and the ways that we might live in hope, peace, love, and joy as we continue to await the complete fulfillment of those promises. The theme we will address throughout Advent is drawn from the hopeful words of Jeremiah when he spoke of the branch that God would make sprout. The branch would be called the Lord, our righteousness. When we declare that God is our righteousness, throughout this period of Advent, we are reminded that God is the perfect example of that which is good and just. On the first Sunday of Advent, we are called to hope. We are called to remember that the God who created and sustains this world is a good and just God who loves his creation. We are called to remember that God responded to this world's needs in a very significant way by coming to earth in human form as Jesus. We are called to remember that God is not abandoning his creation. Now this doesn't mean, this living in hope, doesn't mean that we ignore the concerns of our lives. We know that there is reason for some gloomy thoughts. We continue to have concern for the future of our planet and for the future of our churches. We recognize the fallenness of our own behaviors at times. We know that some of us live in the darkness of grief and depression. In that reality, we declare our hope in God, who is our righteousness. We watch and wait for the things that God continues to do in our world. Now, this doesn't mean that we adopt the posture in which we do nothing but sit back and wait for God to make the gloomy things better. When we think of the gloomy thoughts with which I began this sermon, we recognize that we have a role to play in what God wants to do on this earth. Thinking of those thoughts, we can decide to play a part in the reduction of emissions in our environment. We can determine as a community of faith that we are going to move ahead in hope, which is one of the things that we have expressed this morning as we have installed Lizzie as a pastor of faith development here. We have expressed a hope toward the future. We can determine to be the kind of community of faith that would be most likely to attract people to join us in our commitment to follow Jesus. And so we join God in his purposes for our world, and we do so with the spirit of hope, knowing the God who is just and good. Let us pray. Our God, we come to you as the God who is our righteousness. May that statement, that reminder that you are good and just, that you love your creation, and this particular creation, the community of faith here, we pray that you would guide us forward in hope. May we express that as we live through this time of Advent. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. So in our sermon this morning, we have identified with the people of Israel who waited for the righteousness of God to pervade their world. As we prepare for communion, we are reminded that God did, in fact, come to our world in righteousness. Jesus came to be present with humans on earth and taught that the kingdom of God was now present, but not completely so. When Jesus was at the Passover supper with his disciples just before his death, he said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then, when Jesus gave the cup to his disciples, he said that he would not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And that helps us to see a connection between our sermon topic this morning and our time of communion. When Jesus told his followers to share in a communion meal, he was reminding them that they were continuing to wait for God's purposes to come in their fullness. His impending death and resurrection would be a significant demonstration of God's purposes at work, but the final result would wait until the kingdom came fully. And so when we commemorate the death of Jesus on this first Advent Sunday, we look forward in hope. We look forward to the time when God's kingdom will be completely and finally realized. And when we participate in this communion, we remember that the death of Jesus, born out of the love of God, made reconciliation between God and humanity possible. With faith that God's purposes are at work in our world, we come to the communion table as followers of Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, living in right relationship with God and each other, we come to the communion table to remember the Lord's death and look forward to his second coming and the final realization of God's kingdom. I'm going to invite our servers to come forward and join us here. We remember the body of Jesus Christ. The bread symbolizes the body of Jesus, a body given in death for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so, take this bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus, and eat it remembering the body of Jesus given for us. When the bread is served to you, you may choose the regular bread or the gluten-free option in the center of the tray. Then hold on to it until all have received, and we say a prayer of thanks together before we eat. Anyone been missed in the serving of the bread? Then let us join together in prayer. Bless, O Christ, the bread that we break. Make it the bread of our holy communion with you. Open our eyes that we might see you by faith on the cross, our reconciliation with God. May your immeasurable act of generosity draw us to love you and serve you always. Amen. We remember also the blood of Jesus. The wine or juice symbolizes the blood of Jesus, blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote again in 1 Corinthians 11, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so we take the cup as a symbol of Jesus' blood and drink it, remembering the blood of Jesus given for us. And so when the cup is served to you, you may choose a cup of wine from the outer rings or a cup of juice from the inner rings. Hold on to the cup again until all have received, and we say a prayer of thanks. Sirs. Serving. Let us then pray. O Lamb of God, you shed your blood on the cross for us. Praised be your holy name for your grace and love. Bless this cup, O Lord. Make it the communion of your blood so that we may find rest for our souls and joy for our journey. Amen. And let us conclude our time of communion with a prayer. Holy God, Lord of creation, you came to us through the life and death of the Messiah, Jesus, and adopted us as your own. With bread and wine, Jesus sealed your covenant with us. Gathered at his table, we remember his life lived and offered up for others. In dying, he set us free from death. In rising, he opened the way to eternal life. Send now your Holy Spirit on us and on this meal, that we might feed on Christ and share his bounty with the world. We ask this through our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please take your hymnals and turn to 182, O How Shall I Receive Thee? We will sing verses 1 and 2. I think you would like to stand.
Go now with unwavering faith in the promises of God. Go now with excited expectation in the coming of God's Son. Go now with abundant love for one another and the world. Go in peace.
Come, thou long-expected Jesus, number 178.